sudevaya.
Om
namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om
namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
The Ashwini Kumaras were very pleased at the chastity and faithfulness. First they showed their Chavan Muni in Amazon, and after taking permission from him, they returned to the heavenly planets in their plane. Text 18, Yakshamano Tasharya Tish Chiravanasya Shaman Katha Radarsha Vritu Varshve Purusham Surya Varachasam. Thereafter, King Shariyati, desiring to perform sacrifice, went to the residence of Chavan Muni. There he saw, by the side of his daughter, a very beautiful young man, as bright as the sun. Text 19. Raja Dovitaram Ra, Kuta Pada Vilandanam, Ashishas Chakra Jano, Nati Priti Naganiva. After receiving obeisances from his daughter, the king, instead of offering blessings to her, appeared very displeased and spoke as follows.
O unchaste girl, what is this that you have desired to do? You have cheated the most respectable husband who is honored by everyone, for I see that because he is old, diseased, and therefore unattractive, you have left his company to accept as your husband this young man who appears to be a beggar from the street. Purport. This shows the values of Vedic culture. According to the circumstances, Sukanya had been given a husband who was too old to be compatible with her. Because Chavan Muni was diseased and very old, he was certainly unfit for the beautiful daughter of King Shariyati. Nonetheless, her father expected her to be faithful to her husband. When he suddenly saw that his daughter had accepted someone else, even though the man was young and handsome, he immediately chastised her as asati, unchaste, because he assumed that she had accepted another man in the presence of her husband. According to Vedic culture, even if a young woman is given to an old husband, she must respectfully serve him. This is chastity. It is not that because she dislikes her husband, she may give him up and accept another. This is against Vedic culture. According to Vedic culture, a woman must accept the husband given to her by her parents and remain chaste and faithful to him. Therefore, King Shariyati was surprised to see a young man by the side of Sukanya. Krishna. Asati, this Shariyati Maharaj called his daughter, "You unchaste wretch." He chastised her. Even though the father is naturally very affectionate to the daughter, that we find that generally the mother is more affectionate to the parents. Natural tendency is to love their children, but generally, the father is more affectionate to the daughter and the mother to the son. So naturally very affectionate to the daughter. And parents, they expect that the children will behave in such a way that is pleasing to them. In the Vedic culture, how that pleasing to them is that they will discharge their duties, basic things. Parents want. It's not necessarily that they'll be a great achiever in the material world, as parents want nowadays. They want their children to get a good degree and a good job and make a lot of money. But the ambition of parents in Vedic culture was first of all to see they behave properly. The character was more important. You see, when Parikshit Maharaj was born, Yudhishthira Maharaj employed astrologers. He was most anxious to see that will he maintain the traditions of our family by behaving in a way that is respectable to the dynasty of Pandu. But this they were concerned with. So if they actually followed all the rules and regulations, they respected the elders, the women were chaste, the men were responsible, then the parents were very pleased with him and they showered blessings upon him. Here Shariati Maharaj didn't bless his daughter, which you generally do. The juniors offer obeisances and the seniors offer obeisances. You may wonder, well, who is this? He's just a king. Who's he to offer blessings? He's not a Brahmin or a Muni or he was expecting to offer blessings to his daughter, but he didn't. Instead, he offered chastisement. If he'd offered blessings, that's not simply a formality, but because these people, they followed the rules and regulations of Vedic life, they had some power to bless, and blessings were effective. So this was the desire of the parents, that their children would be very well behaved, following all the rules and regulations of Vedic life, and in this way, developing their characters and becoming elevated. And simply by following all those rules, simply by being a chaste wife, even if a woman didn't do anything else, they weren't expected to do anything else, not to become space astronauts like this Indian woman just went into space. But that's not considered a very great thing for a woman in Vedic culture, or that she become head of a business corporation, Miss World, or Miss Gautri Road. Have the Gautri Road beauty contest yet? Not yet. Baroda's a little bit backward. He didn't start this yet. So they didn't, not that the woman had to achieve anything. She didn't have to achieve anything. All she had to do was serve her husband faithfully, that's all. Bring up her children. That was the goal for a woman. And if she did that, she became glorious and respected. So that was the upbringing. So Shariati, when he saw his daughter with this young man having given up her old husband, he was disgusted. His heart was broken, just like we see nowadays. Parents, they bring up their children to be enjoyers of this material world, and if they join this Krishna conscious movement, in many cases the parents become heartbroken. Ah, all these years I brought up my child with expectations of him being a good materialist like me. And he was looking nice, he was looking like he was going to become a good materialist, but then these Hare Krishna people spoiled him, and they feel great pain in their hearts. Sometimes they employ prostitutes, so many different means to try to bring their children, to make them normal. They become heartbroken that their children have been spoiled by becoming Krishna conscious. But same way, Shariati Maharaj was disgusted with his daughter. And why have you? What is this? What a rascal you are. You gave it. Your husband, he is Loka Namaskrita Munihi. He is, the whole world respects him. You disrespect him. Even though Chavan Muni, he was a Muni. You may say, well, he shouldn't have become attracted to a young girl. But that, still he's Loka Namaskrita Muni. He's still honored throughout the world. Because even though it was unusual and unexpected. But still, he was still a Muni. Still a saintly person. All the austerities that he'd done in the past, that was not nullified by his accepting a wife. And of course, he didn't accept it. It wasn't that he ran off with some young girl. It was done according, it was all done in a respectable manner, according to Vedic rules and regulations. So, Shariati Maharaj was disgusted with his daughter. And you see, even though this young man that she was standing next to was Surya Varchasa, he was effulgent like the sun. He looked just like a denizen from the heavenly planets, which he had the bodily features, just like the Ashwini Kumaras, who were residents of the heavenly planets. So even though he looked so nice, and honorable, and respectable, and he looked like a nice young man, who, no doubt, this kind of young man was exactly the kind of man that Shariati Maharaj was hoping to marry his daughter to. But circumstantially, she had got married to the old Jaragrasta, old and infirm Chavan Muni, not to a beautiful young man. So even though Shariati Maharaj would previously have been very pleased to have found such a husband for her, when he saw her now standing with this man, he said, this man is comparable to a street beggar. Actually, he looked like a denizen of the heavenly planets. But because he was standing with his daughter who was married to what he thought was someone else, he chastised that, yeah, all your good looks, your bodily effulgence, you're just directly chastised. You're just a street beggar, rascal. Very straightforward. He didn't speak in euphemisms. He spoke very straightforwardly. You're just a rascal. Actually, the situation is, as Sukanya, she was not disturbed in her mind hearing all of this, because she knew that her father had simply misunderstood. And you'll find in the next verse, and she'll introduce them. Yes, here is my husband, Chialangmung. This is him. Same. Old and infirm Muni that you saw before has now become, by the grace of the Ashwini Kumaras, converted into a beautiful young man. So she wasn't disturbed, and when Shariati Maharaj found this out, he was also very pleased. But you see, what is Prabhupada is saying here? What are the values of the Vedic culture? What are the values? See, the values are the values means that what are the ideals that shape your life? In the present age, the ideal that shapes people's life is sense gratification. It's not an ideal. That ideal or values is what separates humans from animals. They have some ideal, some higher goal. An animal can only be interested in sense gratification. Even some of the animals, they help each other. They're not totally selfish. There are stories of animals sacrificing to save humans. Some dog will sacrifice to save some child, or some human fell in the sea and the dolphins or some whale helped to keep him alive. So even among the animals there may be some kind of ideal. But really in human life, there are ideals, some higher principle, simply than gross sense gratification. You see, in the modern age, this would be considered completely acceptable. There's so many protests, you'll see that what's going on sometimes, quite often this happens in Muslim countries, that the old man who is rich, by paying some money, he'll get some young wife, some 80-year-old man will marry some girl 14 years old. It's quite common even now in the Muslim countries. So when people hear about this in the Western countries, they protest, you should leave him. Or it's considered a valid reason. Of course, the 14-year-old girl may not be very, very happy because she wants a young husband. But here we see that even if circumstantially she is married to an old man, and I didn't read it myself, but Vasu Goswami was telling me that according to Manu, even an 80-year-old, an old man can marry a young girl. That's also, it's not the general recommendation that we see in society, but it's also allowed. We see even Srinivas Acharya, one of our great Acharyas, when he was at the age of 50, he married his disciple's daughter, who was younger. And some of his contemporaries were surprised. But anyway, he did it. So that wasn't general. That wasn't the general standard, but sometimes that may happen. So the ideal of the Vedic civilization is that the wife will remain faithful and chaste, even though it might not have been her own choice. She wouldn't have decided that herself. But anyway, she has to marry someone, and she has to remain faithful to that person. Now in the modern age, they'd say, that's ridiculous. You know, obviously she should leave him. Why? Because the purpose of life is to enjoy. How can you enjoy with an old man? It's not fair. You only have one life. You have to enjoy it. And how can you enjoy it if you're simply serving some old husband? Get a young husband. Same thing, I was saying yesterday. The man is 50 years old. His wife is also the same age, more or less. He's still got a lot of libido, sexual energy. She hasn't. So, what's wrong with running off with the secretary? She's 20 years old, full of life. Wife has been serving you faithfully. Who gives a damn? Live, enjoy. Let everyone else go to hell. So this is the modern idea. You can exploit the earth, cause so much pollution. Here in India we see that for the benefit of the nation, they'll build dam projects which so many villagers, they've been living on that land for generations. Then all of a sudden the land isn't there anymore because it's all underwater. But for the benefit of the nation, so we can have more factories running with electricity, we can stick more people. We need more electricity for the cities, because in the cities everyone has to have fans and all these facilities. So we want to stick everyone, put everyone in the city, so we need more electricity. So drown the village people and throw them off their land, and then they'll have to go to the city, and then they can enjoy the electricity in the city, which we're making from the dam project. And so many things. Abortion, this whole abortion controversy. In India, it's not even a controversy. It's just accepted everywhere you see. Isn't it? You go in the city, Garbhapat, Deso Rupya. Everywhere the sign is there. Not only in the city, in every village in India, there's a sign, in whatever language it may be. Abortion. Of course, abortion, because you know. Have sex and you don't have a child, so just kill it. So that's the eye. It's not even argued about. It's not even an issue in India. No one cares. It's just considered absolutely normal. How fallen Indian people have become. You see, pregnancy, according to Vedic culture, pregnancy is considered auspicious. It's considered something very joyful. There'll be more children. We already had 10 children, and pregnant, very good. Very nice, more children, it's considered something desirable. Now, pregnancy, how miserable. I have to look after the children, I have to spend money on them, terrible. And this is the argument in the Western countries, that, well, you know, we didn't really want to get pregnant, it's just, you know, forgot to use the contraceptive. So, you know, it wasn't really my fault. Not pregnant, and you know, we were planning to buy a new car, and we can't afford it if we have a child, so, you know, and if we did have the child, you know, we didn't really want it, so we wouldn't be looking after it properly, we wouldn't care for it properly, so it's better, it's more kind to the child just to kill it now. Let's be practical and reasonable, and kill the child. It's my body. I can do what I like with it. Woman's rights. No values. Their values are based on sense gratification. Because they don't know what the goal of life is. Apashyatam atmatattva. Griheshu grihamedinam. Because they are simply sense enjoyers. They don't see what is the actual goal of life. Because they don't know, then they commit sinful activity after sinful activity. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti na sadhumanye yata atmano yam vasanna piklesha da asadeha. They don't know, they're performing sinful activities like mad, they're insane. They don't know, you're doing your little bit of sense gratification, you have to suffer so much in future. You see, they have on their plate a little bit of meat. And for that, they have to suffer so much sinful reaction. Therefore, insane. Nunang pramatta. They're committing so many sinful activities. What for? Simply for the sake of sense gratification. But what is the result? They get body after body to suffer more and more and more. Foolish. No values. Only value sense gratification. So here we see, what are the values of the Vedic culture? People don't understand. They protest against, here the word is given, asati, unchaste. Sati means chaste one. Sati also means the right of sati, whereby the women, now I'm going to do something illegal, I'm going to speak something in favor of sati, which is now illegal in India. But why is it? You see, if you, now you can call the police and arrest me, because it's illegal to say anything in favor of sati. But why did they have that? Because the wife would follow her husband to his destination, and she would feel the pain of the, she wouldn't feel the fire, she would feel the pain of separation from her husband more. Because nowadays, even Prabhupada proved that should be stopped because so many people misuse them. They think, God, we have to look after this widow, we have to spend money for this useless woman, throw her on the fire. So that's been in Kali Yuga. Although actually there are five things forbidden in Kali Yuga, sati is not one of them. But anyway, even Prabhupada said, even now he's seen there are rare cases. It's generally we don't find that standard of devotion to the husband. But Prabhupada said, even he saw in recent times one woman who did that. So there are reasons for this. But because the people, their whole, they can't see, they're blind, they're convinced that the purpose of life is sense gratification. Therefore they can't understand the Vedic culture. Why do you have your children get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Why don't you let them watch TV? Why are you so cruel to them? Why do you make them vegetarian? You should give them meat to eat. Otherwise they won't get strong, and if they're not strong, how can they enjoy sex then? They have to have meat, and they can be more lusty. So, completely different way of thinking. These young boys are coming to me every day and complaining about their families are giving them so much pressure. Well, what are you going to say to them? What can you say? It's no use arguing, because they're absolutely convinced that the goal of life is to enjoy sense gratification. This Krishna consciousness spoiler. So here we see in the Vedic culture that sense gratification is not forbidden. It wasn't that there was no marriage. The marriage was allowed. And within the marriage there is sense gratification, but in a cultured, civilized manner that is meant for elevation, not degradation. Unlicensed, unlimited, unknowledgeable sense gratification is simply the path to hell. But even if you want family life, social life, you can have in a regulated manner. You see, there were different samskaras in family life. All activities for the benefit of the children. Upanayanam, then Vidyaramba, all these activities in which the parents would call their Brahmins and they would call all the village people and they would have a ceremony. So it was all for the benefit of the children, social occasion, but at the same time, totally centered on religion. So it's very nice mixing. Very nice that you want family life, social life. All right, not everyone can be a tyagi. Not everyone can immediately give up everything, become Paramahamsa. So you have, if you want, you have those things, but everything should be done in a regulated way so that you can make advancement on the path back to Godhead. So that these are the values. Such nice civilization. People have no idea. No idea. Therefore they do all kinds of ghastly activities. Killing cows. Euthanasia. Now this is killing old people. Abortion. Killing children. Just killing. All kinds of horrible activities because they don't know what the proper goal of life is. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Is that I was saying yesterday that there are many stories in the Bhagavatam which they may not be directly Krishna conscious, but they you could say they're based on moral principles which lead to Krishna consciousness. But the Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas. But the Paramahamsas have interest in stories such as this. Well, we see that Shukadev Goswami said that I've told so many stories of kingly dynasties just for the sake of increasing the sense of renunciation. So Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas, it's also meant for making Paramahamsas. It's also meant for giving material for Paramahamsas to preach to others to become Paramahamsas. So generally those who are Paramahamsas, they relish especially 10th canto of Bhagavatam, pastimes of Krishna. But they also have to preach Krishna consciousness in the world. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the epitome of Paramahamsa. He is himself. Actually, the word Paramahamsa can properly be applied to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's not that he was concentrating on 10th canto of Bhagavatam, then Jaidev, Chandidas, Bhavabhuti, all these, Ramananda Rai's, Jagannath Vallabh Natak, all these, Rasa Shastra. He was involved in that. But it wasn't that he was unaware of the other. You see, when he was preaching, he was quoting Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana. So he was fully aware of all the different parts of the Shastra. For his own personal relishing, he was relishing. Not even 10th canto, but especially the parts which describe the Madhurya Ras. So for his own relishing, he was relishing that. For preaching, he was fully conversant with everything. Any other question? But this is not relishable, because actually, Krishna is in every syllable of Bhagavatam. Krishna is not different from Bhagavatam. So, so many points of philosophy to be discussed, which is all non-different from Krishna. You have a question? Who are the Ashwini Kumaras? They are the twins who are the physicians of the demigods. That means even the demigods, even though there's not much sickness there, but there must be some kind of sickness, otherwise why do they need physicians? Maybe when they get chopped up by fighting with the demons, they need some kind of...